Sunday morning worship for December 24th, the fourth Sunday in Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the earth, or rather from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the seventh chapter of the second book of Samuel. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pastures, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly. From that time, or rather from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the 16th chapter of the book, or rather of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings that has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In today's reading, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary to announce to her that she will have a child. And as you know, this is the baby Jesus, which his birth we will celebrate later this evening. But there's something interesting in here as well. There's two or three interesting things in this reading. Well, there's probably more than two or three things, but two or three things that strike me today. The first interesting thing is that when the angel comes to Mary and he greets her by saying, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you, that Mary is troubled by what the angel says, meaning she is afraid. Now, usually you picture this as perhaps her being afraid of meeting a strange angel in her house, but it's not the angel's appearance that makes her afraid, but rather it's what he says. He says to her that she is the favored one, and that the Lord is with her, that God is with her. She is favored and God is with her, which sounds like good news. And yet, she is not happy about this, but is rather troubled. This seems odd. Shouldn't she rejoice that she is blessed, when instead she is perplexed and fearful? But if we think about it a little more closely, I think we can understand Mary's position. She has been told that she is blessed. She is told that the Lord is with her. But the question that is not answered is why? The angel does not tell her why it is that the Lord has decided to bless her. And that, I think, is what troubles her. Perhaps you've had this sort of experience yourself. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I don't know, as an example, perhaps I've heard of situations where perhaps the bank makes a mistake in your favor, and all of a sudden you have more money in your account than you think you should have. And at first you might think that this is good news, but if you think about it there too, you know that that might be bad news, because you know eventually the bank will find out about their problem, their error, and take their money back. I think they can do that. I'm not exactly sure about the rules of banking, but I think if they make an error in your favor, they will find a way to take the money back. I'm pretty sure they will. Or the insurance company that pays out too much, I'm sure they will take their money back as well. Or if you maybe have a mistake in your paycheck or something like this, right? When you are blessed without a good reason, this isn't necessarily a reason to rejoice, right? Because you know eventually they'll figure out that they made a mistake. And not just with money. Perhaps you have been given some honor, or somebody has said something good about you that you knew wasn't quite right. They think that you're better than you are. Maybe you've been in that situation. I think maybe some of us, more of us, have been in that situation. People look up to you and think that you have done something good and think that you're worth something, but you know that they're not right. You're not as good as they think you are, that you don't deserve the respect they give you, that you're not as good a person as everyone believes. So too, I think Mary's in this situation as well. The angel has turned up and told her that she is blessed and that he is with her, that the Lord is with her. but I believe this troubles her because she knows that there isn't a good reason for this. So she is blessed by God, but why? What has she done to deserve this honor? That's what troubles her. And perhaps God is making a mistake. And perhaps God will figure out that he's making a mistake and take back the blessing. This always, as you perhaps know, this always seems to follow as well. When somebody makes a mistake about how good you are, eventually they figure it out, right? Somebody thinks that you're great, eventually, if they're around you long enough, they'll figure out that you're not. They will see your problems sooner or later. They will see your mistakes and your sins. And then they won't think you're so great anymore. And isn't that worse than if they never thought you were great at all? So too, I think Mary is thinking this way. I think this reaction tells us something about who Mary is, that I think she reacts the way any of us would, which I think shows us that Mary is just like us. Now, in some churches, Mary is held up as being someone who is a great example, a great saint, perhaps even sinless. After all, she must be if the angel has decided to bless this particular young woman over all the others who are living in that time or even in the history of the world. It must be, some think, that she was particularly great if she was chosen to be the mother of God. But I think by her reaction, it's clear that she wasn't. She is told that she is favored and blessed by God, and yet this troubles her because she knows who she is. She knows that she doesn't deserve this blessing, and so the news of blessing is not good news for her, just as it wouldn't necessarily be good news for us. Like Mary, you are told that you have been blessed. You have been told that you are righteous and that God loves you, that you are God's own child, and that you will have eternal life. If we had any sense, like Mary, this news might trouble us as well, because blessings should not be taken for granted. If there's no good reason for God blessing us, then perhaps God has made a mistake, and perhaps God will figure out his mistake eventually. Seems to me that this is how a lot of churches work. It's easy to get in, but it's hard to stay there. You come into church and you are told now that you are a Christian, but now that you are in church, you have to start acting like it, and that's the trouble, because we aren't really so good as we ought to be. We're not really good Christians. We're not really good people, or at least we're not really better than the people out there in the world. And so it seems eventually they'll find out about us and the blessings will be taken away. That's the first interesting thing that I see in the reading today. There's something else interesting that draws our attention, which is connected to the first thing, but we'll come back to that. There's this phrase that is repeated three times when the angel is speaking to Mary about the blessing that she's receiving. Of course, as you know, the blessing will take material form in this baby, which Mary is going to give birth to. And concerning this baby, the angel says several things. He repeats this phrase. First, he tells Mary that you shall call him Jesus. And then later, the angel says that he will be called Son of the Most High. And later, that he will be called Holy, the Son of God. The angel predicts what this baby will be called, Jesus, Son of the Most High, the Son of God. He will be called these things. Three times that phrase is repeated. I think that's important, the fact that this is done three times. How will he be called? What will people say about him? Mary is perhaps concerned about what people will say about her, or rather what God will say about her when he finally figures out that she's not so great. But here the angel has something to say about what people will call her baby, Jesus, which means Yahweh redeems, Son of the Most High, which is probably a reference to the fact that he will be King of Israel, and then the highest calling, that he will be called the Son of God. This is, in a way, I think, an answer to the first question that Mary has about herself. Why is it that she is blessed? Well, the answer is this baby. The angel is saying who this baby will be, that he will be called these great things, and that his greatness will not be marred by the things that Mary worries about herself. Mary is worried that she's not quite good enough for God's blessings, but the angel is telling her, no, see, the baby will be great even though you think you aren't worthy of being blessed. In spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your deficiencies, in spite of the fact that Mary is afraid that she doesn't really deserve blessings, in spite of all that, the baby will be great. The baby will be the Savior of God's people. The baby will be called Son of God. Now, of course, that's not all that the baby will be called. Other people will have other ideas about who this baby is. Some will say terrible things about Mary, that it wasn't actually a virgin birth, that she had some relations before marrying her fiancé, Joseph, and that this baby then is nothing but a mistake, I suppose. And other people will say other things, that he isn't really the Son of God, that he was a trickster, that he was a con man, that he came to lead astray the Jews, or that he was just even a made-up story and he never lived at all, and all sorts of things like this. If you read or go online, you could see plenty of things. Surprisingly, there's nothing new being said today. It's the same stories that the Jews made up about him as soon as he died. But their opinion doesn't matter. And this is part of the story too, part of the answer to Mary's concerns about herself. What other people say about Jesus really doesn't matter. What matters is what God calls him. By what name does God call his own son? You see, when the angel Gabriel says that he will be called Jesus, or rather you will call him Jesus, and that he will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will be called the Son of God, the angel is not predicting what people will say about him. He's not predicting what we say about him as, you know, the church. But he is saying what God says about him. And so, too, the name Jesus that Mary will use for him, that name first comes from God himself. Mary and Joseph call him Jesus because God called him Jesus. And so Jesus is the Son of the Most High because God says that he is. And of course, he is the Son of God because God himself calls him his Son. This too, then, is the answer to Mary's concern about her own blessedness. And how is it that the angel calls her blessed? Well, what the angel is saying is that it doesn't matter what Mary thinks about herself, nor does it matter what anyone else says about her. Nor does it even matter what we say about her. But she is blessed because God calls her blessed. The angel is delivering the news about what God thinks about Mary. And that's all that matters. And so therefore she has no fear about what God thinks of her. He is telling her that she is blessed, and so she is. There's one other interesting point, well, one more interesting point that we'll talk about today in the reading. There's another phrase that's repeated here twice. The angel, when he speaks to Mary, says in verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." But he uses this strange phrase, "Behold," which means basically, look, see. Look, you will conceive and bear a son, even though you're a virgin. I think the point of that word, behold, is to say, I am telling you what is happening, but see for yourself if my word is not true. The word behold is an invitation to test the word. Here's what I'm telling you, but you don't just have to take my word for it. You can see with your own eyes that this word is the truth. Mary herself then repeats the angel's word. In the very last verse, she tells the angel in response to his message, Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So she tells the angel, look and see for yourself what my response is, that I believe the word that you are speaking. This word, behold, along with the words that the angel and Mary speak to each other, comes this invitation to look and see. See how it is. See how the word of God, which the angel delivers to Mary, see that it is true. And Mary responds and invites the angel to see for himself, or rather to God, see that I believe in the word. See for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Behold and see that this is true. Now, God has spoken words about Mary, but he also speaks a word about you. He has called you blessed. He has called you righteous. He has told you that you will live forever. Examining ourselves, we do not see a reason for this. We have not earned this gift. There's nothing about us that looks particularly blessed, as though there were a reason why God would say this about us. But like Mary, what matters is not what we think about ourselves, but rather what God calls us. He calls us righteous, and so we are. He says we live forever, and so we do. He calls us his sons and daughters, and therefore that's what we are. But lastly, the invitation, behold, also applies to our own lives. For right now, it does not look like we are righteous. For right now, it does not look as though we live forever, as we see ourselves getting older and suffering illness, and perhaps even dying. Yet still, God invites us to see. See how it is. Behold how things will turn out. With your own eyes, you will see your own righteousness. With your own eyes, you will see your own resurrection. With your own eyes, you will see that as God has called you his own, so you are. God calls you blessed, and there's no reason to worry about that. God says that you are righteous. God says you will live. Behold and see that his word is true. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O Lord our God, nothing is impossible with you. Grant us faith to believe your word and follow the example of your servant Mary to receive the miraculous gift of your Son, our Emmanuel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, your word has been sent forth into the world to the joy and edification of your holy people. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen all who hear it. Grant faith to those who do not know you, both here and abroad, that all peoples may sing to your name and extol your goodness. By the power of your Holy Spirit, fill all who hear your word with joy and peace in believing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, uphold all who suffer in mind or body. Give them the knowledge of Christ, their Emmanuel, who is with them in their trials. Grant them health and healing in accord with your perfect will. Grant healing today especially to Shirley Rothman, Jerry Yates, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Deladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, and Tim Bradford. And also to Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Cecil, Terry, Kevin, Nick, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Mike, Margaret, John, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Jean, and Vonnie. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of your birth at your only begotten Son, of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course, may preach the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.